Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Let's do some political euphemisms. Already this morning, we've heard an update on the war in Afghanistan, or the armed conflict, or if you would prefer, the overseas contingency operation. Then we heard from Congressman Wiener talking about the T word and why the current compromise might not provide the supply side spending that the right suggests it might. Through the power of reframing the context of words we use, we invest in government programs instead of spend. We explore for energy instead of drill for oil. And killing that flock of geese over by LaGuardia after they flew into Sully's jet engine, that was part of a population management program. So what's in a word? Well, a new book called Euphemania, Our Love Affair with Euphemisms, has some answers. And author Ralph Kies is here to give us some straight talk about the ways our political discussion is shaped by the euphemisms we employ. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
And there's a lot more in this book than the political euphemisms, but we're going to focus on those. And they do a lot more than make a meaning gentler, especially in the political sphere. They also convey a specific agenda, right?
Well, you were just talking earlier about the estate tax. Well, excuse me, the death tax. This is the way we manipulate language, sometimes by using more euphemisms, sometimes by using less. The Republicans a few years ago decided it was not global warming we should discuss, but climate change. This was their euphemism for global warming. Well, look how successful they've been. That's what we talk about now, climate change.
Listeners, do you have a favorite or least favorite political euphemism? Call us right up. We'll put you right on. 212-433-WNYC. Ones that you love to use or ones that you love to hate. 212-433-9692 with your political euphemisms. And we see the evolution of things like stupid to learning disabled, poor to lower income. Is something lost? I mean, some of those are just being kind of more accurate rather than derogatory.
Yes.
And so there's a fine line there.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of the words that we use try to soften what were more direct words, like deaf, for example, you know, becomes hearing impaired. The word, you get more words, you get more syllables. And it's often what you might call a mug's game, trying to replace more direct words with euphemistic ones. Retarded, for example, was initially a euphemism that was used in place of imbecile, moron, idiot. It was considered a much more polite term. Well, today, that euphemism has become so contaminated that there's a movement to ban the word retarded and replace it, you know, with words such as differently abled, special needs, etc.
And apropos of the conversation we were just having with the congressman, let's listen to a short clip from the TV show The West Wing, in which all of the framing over an issue that we are dealing with today comes to light.
Good evening. About 15 minutes ago, the clerk of the House presented the executive clerk with H.R. 10, a bill repealing the estate tax, which opponents sometimes call the death tax or the we're coming to get your children tax. We call it a tax on fewer than 2% of American estates valued at over $1 million, the revenue from which helps fund frivolous Democratic spending programs such as teaching people to read and curing disease.
So, did you ever hear that? That's how the West Wing dealt with it.
Love West Wing. Love Allison Janney. Boy, terrific.
Does death tax qualify as a euphemism in your book, or a reverse euphemism?
It's a reverse euphemism. I mean, you take estate tax, which the Republicans would consider euphemistic, and you convert it into what they consider, you know, let's talk plainly, it's a death tax. But, you know, your euphemism is my polite term. My euphemism is your evasion.
Aaron from Brooklyn writes on our comments page that euphemisms are positive spins and dysphemisms.
Yes.
Are negative spins, like death tax.
Right, right. And he's exactly right. There is that distinction. And incidentally, the word euphemism comes from the Greek "eu," good, "pheme," speech, good speech or good speaking. And another antonym is blaspheme. That's bad speaking, speaking against the Lord. We don't always realize that these two grew up together.
So you have a possible sequel to your book, Euphemania. You could write a book called Dysphemania.
Right, or Blasphemania.
And Nita in Manhattan, you have a favorite or least favorite euphemism or dysphemism? Anita, what you got? Hi.
Yes, hi, Benita.
Benita, I'm sorry.
Yes, no, that's okay. Yes, it's not a favorite. It's disgusting. It's collateral damage.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Collateral damage, friendly fire.
Collateral damage is often people killed in a bombing, let's say, who weren't the target.
Right, exactly. The military are full of their own euphemisms. Do you know what a soft target is? It's a human being, as opposed to a hard target is a building. You know, they never kill people, but they do sometimes neutralize them, liquidate them, or make them inoperative.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and may you never be anyone's soft target.
Yes.
Brian in Hawthorne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Brian.
Hi, good morning. I think the top of the charts has got to be undocumented immigrant. I'm sure that your listeners will have some views on that, but I'm voting for undocumented immigrant as number one euphemism in the state.
Thank you.
It's a perfect example of you know, where you stand, it dictates how you speak.
It's like, oh, I just lost my papers.
Yes.
But on the other side, people will say that illegal alien is a dysphemism because a person can't be illegal. Only their status can be illegal.
Exactly.
And alien is such a foreign, threatening sounding word.
Exactly. So, again, it depends, you know, undocumented alien or undocumented immigrant, even more polite, is a word that people in that community much prefer to use, obviously.
Joyce in Maplewood, you got one?
Yeah, the top of the list for me is enhanced interrogation used instead of torture.
Oh, yeah. That's robust,
really
enhanced interrogation, robust interrogation, applying pressure, anything. Well, you think about it. You know, would a torturer, a professional torturer, when you ask him what he does, would he be likely to say, well, I hurt people for a living. I inflict pain. No, I apply pressure.
I interrogate in an enhanced fashion.
Yes.
George, that probably is the number one of the last decade.
Yeah, I think so.
I'll agree with you on that one. Thank you very much. You cite blogger and recent guest on the Brian Lehrer Show, Dan Savage, in your book, is asking his readers, and he's a sex advice columnist and a gay rights activist, and he asks his readers to address him as, quote, "Hey faggot," unquote. Dan Savage's request.
Right.
Tell us about the battle to un-euphemize language in that kind of way, and why people wage it, and is that really an un-euphemization or is it something else?
Well, I call that candor restoration. And there's a point.
I mean, that's not candor. That's not the straight talk way to reference a homosexual person, right?
Well, obviously it's considered derisive, but Dan Savage says, hey, you want to be derisive towards me? You know, call me a faggot. I'll do you one better. I'll call myself. It's the same way that a lot of blacks will use. You know, there are two books by black authors, Randall Kennedy and Dick Gregory, whose title is the N-word because they want to defang it by rubbing it in our noses. But I think there's a better purpose for this candor restoration. Let's take the term auto accident. At one time, auto accident was considered a much more soft, polite, indirect way of referring to what initially was a car crash. Mm. Well, now we're going back to car crash because that's what it is, and let's keep it right in front of our face. It's a car crash. It hurts people.
I like when they say a car was pre-owned.
Pre-owned, yeah.
That means somebody had it before anybody owned it?
Oh, yeah, right. Well, don't get me started on commercial euphemism.
We have 30 seconds left.
Okay.
You pose the question, what have we lost if we change idiot to learning impaired or mentally challenged? Have we lost anything? And have we gained anything?
I think you have to partly distinguish between when you're being courteous and when you're simply being evasive. For example, you know, I read recently that we shouldn't use the word Cassandra because it's sexist. We should just say pessimist. Well, we lose a little bit in the color and the fiber and the directness of the language. So I think we need to tread carefully when becoming too free with our euphemisms.
Euphemania, our love affair with euphemisms. Ralph Keyes, K-E-Y-E-S, is the author. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. We have 15 seconds before the break. You want to throw in one more just for fun?
Well, from my list that included Cassandra, Pollyanna should not be used because it's sexist. Straw man should be replaced with unreal issue.
And we leave it
wake
there.
Wake me when it's over.
Thank you very much. Brian Lehrer, WNYC.